I don't know if it was cold any longer, but maybe it wet the whistle a little bit. We turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 23. You know, it's easy to say at this point, well, the names that start with verse 24 and following are the names of the nobodies. But, you know, let me just say this. I don't ever want to meet Elhanan, the son of Dodo, in heaven and say, I never read your name publicly, and yet you are in the Bible. I don't ever want to meet Shammah or Elikah or Helez and all these people. Eliphelet, right down the line. Let us name them now. They're in this role of David's men. And really, remember, David is a picture of Christ. This is a list, a catalog of the Lord's men, the Lord's servants, the Lord's soldiers. And it doesn't tell us about all these other names. Maybe some of them just watched the food storage. Maybe some of them just shined or sharpened their swords. Doesn't tell us. Not every one of them may have been in the infantry. They may have been on the front lines. But they all found their way. They were all important to David. And so all of God's people are important to the Lord. Asahel, remember him. This must have been an earlier catalog because you remember he died a long time ago when Abner killed him as he was chasing Abner. Interestingly, just in 1 Chronicles 11, you have 16 new names. So if you compare 2 Samuel 23 with 1 Chronicles 11, we think that this list in 23 is an earlier list, and many of these men have died, perhaps in battle. And 16 newer names are found in 1 Chronicles 11. So some of these that we're naming in 23 are in heaven by now. Have served their time and perhaps passed away or had to be retired from the army. But yet, they still are recorded in God's Word. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. Shammah, the Heradite. Elikah, the Heradite. Helez, the Peltite. Ira, the son of Ikish, the Tekoite, Abiezer, the Anathothite, the Bunai, Aiah, the Hushathite, Zalmon, and Ahohite, Maharai, the Netophathite, Helev, the son of Bena, a Netophathite, Ittai, the son of Ribiah, out of Gibeah, of the children of Benjamin. Benaiah, the less, right? Not the Benaiah that was over the guard earlier that slew that 7.5-foot Egyptian. Doesn't tell us it here, but in 1 Chronicles 11 it says he was 7.5 feet tall. Benaiah, the Parathonite, Hidiah of the brooks of Gaish, Abialbon, the Arbathite, Asmaveth, the Barhumite, Eliaba, the Shalbanite, of the sons of Jeshen, Jonathan, Shammah, the Hararite, Ahiam, the son of Sharar, the Hararite, Eliphelet, the son of Ahashbiah, the son of Maacathite, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel. Isn't it interesting that the reprobate's son made it here? The Gilonite. Hezri, the Carmelite. Pahirai, the Arbite. Egal, the son of Nathan of Zobah. Bani, the Gadite. Zelek, the Ammonite. Aharai, the Berothite armor bearer to Joab, the son of Zeruiah, Ira and Ithrite, Gareth and Ithrite, last but not least, Uriah, the Hittite. Again, one that was killed earlier like Asahel. And 37 in all. Now, how can we unpack this in 2019? How do you unpack, apply this passage to you and me? Well, you can see by the title where we're going today, perhaps. Where the question is asked, or the statement, the Lord knows them that are His. But I have a hard time to conclude on a title. Poor Tanya, she wants the bulletin printed, but I can't deal with it Saturday night, so I think I had the title, Am I in the Lord's Army? Or Who is on the Lord's Side? Or Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And we settled on the Lord knows them that are His. And if you read the devotional today by John Greer, that's how he applied the lists in the Bible. The Lord is a God of lists. All the numberings of the people, and you have lists of people in several passages in the Old Testament like these, lists of David's men. Then you have Paul listing several people. You have biographies in the New Testament especially, or in the Old Testament especially, and some abbreviated ones in the New. How may we apply this to the Church of David's greater Lord? Because you and I are not literally fighting Philistines and giants. The kingdom of God back then was represented by Israel, was a national church. It was visible and it was national. Now, there were those who were of Israel, but not Israel, just like Paul says in the New Testament. We may not be fighting with literal swords, and yet we are fighting. The Bible speaks of us as soldiers. The kingdom of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, is local yet universal. It's not national, so we don't have a national government. But we do. It's a kingdom. Christ is the king. We don't have literal armies and do not fight military battles with certain nations of the world. Yet we are a kingdom. We have enemies and are militant yet evangelistic, seeking converts to Christ. Interestingly, in 1 Chronicles 11, it says, it divides the men in these lists as chief of the mighty men David had, then valiant men of the armies. So there were valiant ones that included all the rest. They were all valiant, some more than others. They all strengthened themselves with David in his kingdom and with all Israel to make David king. There's an application there. There are some that do exploits. There are others that are faithful and are still valiant. But all of them strengthen themselves with David in his kingdom. All of us are strengthening ourselves with Christ, in his kingdom. Not to make him king, but to declare him as king, to serve him as our king. But in one sense, we are seeking to make him king through the world, at least to show that he's the king. So there is application. And it all goes on to say in 1 Chronicles, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. So the first thought is that as soldiers of Christ, well, the question needs to be asked, are we among the soldiers that Jesus has? As it says, these are the men that David had. Notice, H-A-D. They were his men. They were in his army. So we do have to ask that question. Are you in the Lord's army? Are you the Lord's? You know, there are various reasons why people have said why Joab isn't in the list. Did you notice that? His armor bearer is in the list. But he isn't. Now, there are men, commentators that said he's a given. He was the general. I'm not so sure that's the case. My thought is that these are saved men that are mentioned here as a picture of that Joab, we all believe, he wasn't a saved man. He was a murderer, and he continued in that murderous. He was executed under Solomon's rule. And interestingly, Ahithophel, now he wasn't a soldier, but yet Ahithophel, his son is mentioned here. That's interesting, isn't it? And, you know, it's almost saying perhaps it's easier to tell a disciple by his antagonism to the Lord rather than his supposed profession. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can profess the Lord, but when you start to antagonize the people of God or antagonize the church or cause problems, like Paul said, heresies must arise that those that are certified might be made known. So Joab's problematic practice showed that he wasn't one of David's true, one of the Lord's men. And we find, isn't that so? That Judas made it clear when he betrayed the Lord. In all the lists, and Judas Iscariot who betrayed the Lord. What are we known for? Interestingly, remember that passage in Luke where the disciples rebuked a man who said he was casting out demons, but he wouldn't follow them. And they rebuked him. And what did Jesus say? He that is not against us is for us. You see, he could have put it, he that is for us is not against us. But like I said earlier, sometimes a person is no more. It's easier to tell a true disciple or one who isn't a true disciple by his antagonism, by the fact he's against the truth or he's against, you know, there are people in the visible church always against everything that seems to be proposed. They're against that type of evangelism and against that kind of preaching and against that kind of activity, you know. They're known for their antagonism. And here was a man casting out demons, and I'm fine where I am. This is the way the Lord wants me to serve. And Jesus said, you shouldn't rebuke him. If he that is not against us is for us. Jesus is the son of David. So we apply this, that Jesus is David's root before he's his shoot. But our application today is that, you know, are we one of David, the king, the son of David's soldiers? A regenerated person immediately has changed sides from the devil to the Lord. We're the devil's defectors if we're true saved people. We were fighting on the losing side. Some of these soldiers are called mercenary soldiers. A mercenary soldier is a professional soldier serving in a foreign army. And some of these were Gentiles. Uriah the Hittite. Did you notice? Zelek the Ammonite. And then in 1 Chronicles 11:46, we have Ithmah the Moabite. So they've got an Ammonite. He had an Ammonite, a Hittite, and a Moabite. And then he had others too. He had some Philistines that came with him from Philistia when David was over there. And remember, Benaiah was over David's personal guard, and he trusted Gentiles who had become proselytes as his close police. And then branch it out. Rahab the Jerichoitess, Cornelius the Roman, Naaman the Syrian, Ruth the Moabitess. You and I, the American, serving the Lord. And the question is, are you the Lord's? Are you regenerated? Can you say that your baptism is a consistent picture of what's happened to you and me? We've been washed. Someone said baptism is a two-edged sword. It pictures cleansing on one hand and condemnation on the other. Who were baptized unto condemnation in Noah's day? They were baptized. 1 Peter even says that, speaks of the water of Noah as a baptism. But who was baptized? Not Noah and his, they were inside the boat. Those people were baptized unto condemnation. Where the picture of baptism is of cleansing. So you've often heard, perhaps if you've conversed with Haino Baptists, they'll say, they challenge their children, have you improved on your baptism? Is your infant baptism a true picture of cleansing or condemnation in your life? What are you showing at 8 years old or 12 years old or 30 years old? Are you showing that baptism that your parent professed and brought you to is a baptism unto cleansing, or is it a baptism unto condemnation? But the same goes to, you say you apply that in paedobaptism. Baptism. You and I can apply that to cradle baptism. How often do you hear people say that a person who's been baptized after profession is definitely saved? How do we know that? I can look at a person that's been baptized as an infant and say, have you improved on your baptism? I can look at myself or someone that was baptized upon profession and say the same exact thing. Have you improved on your baptism? Are you showing that you're cleansed? Are you walking with God? So, it's like one said, the sacrament is not tied to time. It covers your whole life. We know that there are people that were baptized as believers that showed that they were rascals. Just like, same way, look at Esau, or not Esau, but Isaac and Ishmael. Yeah, Esau, Jacob and Esau, they were circumcised. But they didn't improve upon, they showed that they weren't circumcised in heart. Jacob hadn't been circumcised in heart until he was older. He was still uncircumcised in his heart when he took off after deceiving his father. And you could look at Jacob and say, you have not improved upon your circumcision. You're not showing that you've been circumcised in heart. Just like you can say to Judas Iscariot, you haven't improved upon your baptism. Now, he was also circumcised, but he was baptized. You have not improved upon your baptism. You have betrayed the Lord. You see, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So the question is legitimate. Are we on the Lord's side? Because in the visible church, there are incommunicant and communicant members. And what the Protestant church, especially the Paedo-Baptist Protestant church, has said, they're baptized into the visible church, but they are not coming to the Lord's table until they can give a credible profession that they have been cleansed of their sin. Then they become communicant members. So there's actually a dichotomy. They're in the visible church, they're in the kingdom, but they're incommunicant.
until they give evidence that they have improved upon their baptism, as it were, that they can give a that they've been washed in their from their sins. But even those in the communicant list can show you should never have gone to the communicant list because your baptism is fraudulent. You haven't improved on it. So there is a legitimate question here. Would you be on the list of Jesus' soldiers? I trust that everyone here can say, I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's family. If not, oh, that you would examine yourself, seek the Lord, and seek Him with all your heart, and say, Lord, I want to know. I want to be in Christ. I want to be in your family. I don't want to just have a mere profession. We can deceive ourselves, but we want to make sure that we're ready to meet the Lord. Secondly, there are soldiers of Christ that are chief among His people. There's no doubt. Daniel speaks of the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Chapter 11. I mean, there were some mighty men here. I mean, you have one man, the Tachmonite, Adino, 800 people at one time. 800! You say, impossible. Samson slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. You know, of course, the unbelief in us is, oh, come on, that's exaggerated. A man could slay 800 people. That's mighty. Just like in the Hall of Faith, we have, I mean, you say, is that mighty? I think it's mighty that Daniel was willing to be going down. He went down to the lion's den. Don't you think that he'd be included among the mighty men of the Lord? Or the three Hebrews that were willing to walk into that furnace? No matter what? And the Apostle Paul, how many people did the Lord use him to lead to Christ? Thousands. All those churches that we read about, God used him to plant. Mighty men. The one man that says he was so active that it seemed like the sword clung to his hand. Do you know, that's actually historical. There have been people that have been fighting so much that their muscles just, they need a blacksmith to loosen their fingers. I forgot what it's called, coagulation, where they have to have somebody loosen their fingers because they've held a sword or held a weapon for so long in the battle. You can read about that in history or on YouTube. Well, think about it. There are times when you and I are doing something and you're in the same motion all day long, and you know, it's almost like whatever weapon or whatever tool that you've used is almost an extension of your arm. You use it so often. Well, that's what described this man. And the one man, all the Israelites left, and Shammah, it says, stood his ground. And that lentil and barley field. And then all the rest of them benefited. It says they all came back to spoil. Thanks a lot. You know. And then the three men were David's hometown had a garrison of Philistines there. Saddened him greatly that my hometown, my home village is overtaken. And he just out loud just said, oh, I'd love to have a cup of cool water from that famous well in Bethlehem. And the three mighty men, apparently the three that are just overheard this. It's 25 miles round trip from where this took place to Bethlehem. 25 miles. They did this apparently overnight. And somehow they had to break through, fight through enemy lines. Killed a few men. to just get a pitcher of water. And they brought it back to David. You know, you read this and you say, man, what? My thought is, how untrue it is that this must have offended those men. But no. Here, this is sacrifice. This is risking your life to give me a cool glass of water. What a picture of the Savior who gave His life that we might be converted. And David poured it out as a drink offering unto the Lord. And Jesus' offering was unto His God. He offered Himself to God rather than to offer up you and me as an offering of condemnation. And so it is. Where you have Abishai, 300. Benaiah slew two lion-like men of Moab. Now, what does that mean? The word, some say, is just they were heroes. They were mighty men in Moab. And he stood his ground and he slew both of them. And then, why would he go after a lion? I don't get it. But and why does it mention a snowy day? They didn't have many snowy days in that area. So, and what we're thinking is, the man saw the tracks of this lion. The lion fell into a cistern, fell into a hole. And he didn't go to release the lion, set him free, like you heard about that jogger who released that deer that kept getting stuck in the fence. Three times he had to release the deer. It kept going back to the fence and getting stuck. Well, this man must have, because of the snow, obviously, saw that there was a lion going this direction after the lion. I mean, you and I would have stayed as far away from that hole. And yet, he went down into the hole and killed the lion. David could, I mean, that must have been, David must have, he's a man after my own heart. Remember, David killed the lion and the bear. Mighty men. And then it says he went after an Egyptian with a staff and took the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and he was 7.5 feet tall, if you look in 1 Chronicles 11, and slew him. He was a handsome guy, it says. Apparently he was a leader among all. He was certainly head and shoulders above all the other Egyptians. And what more can be told? We read about those who subdued kingdoms and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire and waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight armies of aliens, describing David and Daniel. And David certainly turned to flight the armies of aliens, turned to flight the Philistines by killing Goliath. Martyrs who were tortured, suffered scourgings and mockings and bonds and imprisonments, stoned and slain and sawn asunder. Apparently a description of Isaiah, cut in half. Imagine dying by being sawed in half. Some have done their years in prisons and concentration camps. John the Baptist stood against Herod and preached to him that you must not have your brother Philip's wife. Many in the Lord's army have done exploits for Him. But let us not think that that should be discouraging. What have I done for the Lord? Well, all the rest of the names, most of the names are those that we would have never known about unless the Lord put it in the list. So thirdly, we read of soldiers that were nonetheless valiant. The word is gibor, heroes, heroines in the faith. Most unknown. Well, we knew about Asahel, but only that he was slain early in the battles. Uriah was expended by David. Some wonder, why was Uriah put last in this list? He's not last in the list in 1 Chronicles. Could it be that both negatively and positively he's put last? So the glory doesn't go to David. Because David was the one that caused Uriah to die. So the glory is David's greater Lord that he puts Uriah in that list when Uriah was just a young man. I mean, may never have had any children by the time that he died. Even Eliam, son of Ahithophel. You wonder how many have made it into the kingdom of God whose parents were rank atheists and agnostics or just false professors. Why am I saved, Lord? When I had a parent that rejected the gospel and was an idolater. Today's the 24th anniversary of Madeline Murray O'Hare's death. 9/29/95. She reaped what she sowed. Oh, she was vicious. She would swear on live television, so they had to tune her out. One of her workmen, she castigated in an article and portrayed him as a homosexual, and then he got infuriated. And he killed her and her youngest son and his wife and stuffed them in 55-gallon barrels and buried them in Texas. But she had her oldest son, Bill. Now, I don't know if he's a true Christian, but he forsook her, William O'Hare. I just couldn't help but when I thought about Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, and I think of you and I, of believers who've had parents that never believed. Why me, Lord? You see, salvation's of God. It's of grace. And the book of Hebrews, again, does not just give us the list of people that did exploits, but simply says people that offered sacrifices. Like Enoch, he was translated that he wouldn't see God. By faith, he was translated. Even building an ark. I mean, it doesn't seem like a great thing. He's building an ark. He's just doing the will of God by building a boat. Abraham sojourned. Sarah just conceived by faith. They blessed on their deathbed. Moses' parents hid their child 3 months. Hid Moses 3 months. Moses refused Egypt. By faith, they passed through the sea. By faith, she received spies. In other words, no great things in the sense. I mean, ordinary things that God looked at and saw was an expression of their faith and an expression of their love. Again, Romans 16. Phoebe helped many. Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who laid down their necks for me. The well-beloved Epaphroditus. Greet Mary. Bestowed much labor on us. Adronicus and Junia in Christ before me. Urbana, our helper in Christ. Apelles, approved in Christ. Tryphena and Tryphosa, the household of Narcissus. I mean, people that we had never heard about. That gave him a drink of water. That housed him when he was in town. And the Lord Jesus speaks of those that simply visit the sick for him. Visit prisoners, clothe those that are naked, give a drink to the thirsty. A woman that gave 2 mites into the offering box, who spread oil upon him. In other words, simple things. You and I, resisting temptation. That's often difficult. We do it for the Lord. We do it because we love Him. We don't want to sin against Him. We pray daily. We witness. We hate heresy. We debate false teaching. We seek to be faithful in our church covenant relationship. We raise children for Christ. We're loyal in our marriages. We go about doing good. We want to be light and salt. These are those that in the Lord's army. Anonymous, the anonymous magnanimous, if you will. The Iras and the Eliphalets and the Zalmons and the Egals and the Helazes. Those that nobody would have ever... They weren't mentioned in the history of 2 Samuel. They strengthened themselves. And we strengthen ourselves with Christ and His people in His kingdom to crown Him King. Are you in the Lord's army? I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Can you say that? I'm in the way of the cross that leads home. God is helping me to resist the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I want to be holy. I want to love people. I want it to be known. By this shall all men know that I'm His disciple, because I have love for my brothers and sisters. I'm loyal. I want to be loyal. I want to defend. You know, here was one wanting to defend a food plot. Counted that important to risk his life. We don't have food. We're going to die. Just defending a food plot. One of David's mighty men. Defending the unborn. Defending the seniors who can't help themselves any longer. Defending the persecuted. And our president did a very nice, very kind thing, didn't he, at the UN? Oh, that he would know the Lord. I mean, to stand there and say that you ought not to mistreat. Now, of course, he mentioned everybody, every religion, but it's a worthy thing. Are you there? Are you faithful? Are you wanting to be loyal to your Lord? Is it important for you to be one of the Lord's? Maybe not. We'll never, none of us, maybe not one person here will ever be known as chief among the Lord's. But we can all be the Lord's. We can all serve Him in whatever capacity. Housing someone, washing someone's feet, as it were. Saying a good word to the downtrodden. Giving a gospel piece of literature to somebody. Pointing anybody to the Lord. But maybe you'll never... You know, I met a couple last week, and they said, you know, one man said, my mother, as far as we know, never led anyone to the Lord in all of her life. But she served Him. She wasn't a failure. She reflected the Lord in her life and she tried to tell people about Jesus. But as far as we know, she never could say, here's a person that by my direct influence was converted. And yet the son could say she was a faithful mother. She loved the Lord and she served Him. And I said to him, look, the Bible says some sow and some water, but God gives the increase. So just sowing and watering. Look at Ezekiel again. Look at Jeremiah. As far as we can't see any converts. If they had believing friends, they were already believing. Yet they were faithful. Are you faithful? Are you believing? Are you in the Lord's army? Don't be jealous of others. Serve the Lord in your own sphere. Be faithful in the little things. Maybe He'll give you more to do, maybe not. Let's be faithful. May it be known we're the Lord's people. May God use us to point others into His army. But that we can at least reflect the fact we're in the Lord's army. Oh, that you would become one too.